We're going to start with going all the way back to Genesis. And we're going to talk about the theme of being complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Genesis chapter 1, back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 20. And I have all of these in the King James. And it's an interesting thing about this verse. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Did you know that when God said that, it says, "Let us make man in our image"?
That's right.
There you see the Trinity the first time in Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in part of God's creation, he wanted to inhabit the land with people made in his image and his likeness, to have dominion over everything that he created in the heavenlies, on the earth, and in all the seas. And so he starts off and he says, "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And that word dominion was really a very powerful word, because this plan that God the Father had with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus was to create an earthling, if you will. I use the word earth suit because we're of the earth, if you think about it. This was their plan, to inhabit the earth and give man dominion and authority over everything that God created. We hear the saying that God is sovereign and that God is in control. But in the beginning, he put Adam in control over everything. And this is what the word dominion, that word dominion, it means power, authority, jurisdiction, control, command, sway, and dominion. Power means the right to govern or rule or determine. The right to govern. God imparted that to Adam. Authority implies power for a specific purpose within specified limits. Jurisdiction applies to official power exercised within prescribed limits. The human being having jurisdiction over parks, even parks. Control stresses the power to direct and restrain. These are some of the ingredients, the aspect of dominion that God had imparted. And it was God's will to do that even before Adam was created, because he wasn't created until the three of them were in agreement. And then we're going to read how it happened. Command implies the power to make arbitrary decisions and compel obedience. Sway suggests the extent of exercised power or influence. And dominion, this is key, stresses sovereign power or supreme authority. And you've heard me make statements before. We talk about God being in control, but he's in control through his people, the body of Christ. Before, he was in control through Jesus. He exercised his control over everything through Christ. Before that, he had given that to Adam. Before Adam was even born. Adam wasn't born, he was created. But the nifty thing about that is, and I imparted this word to you, complete Wednesday night. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." But there was something lacking. There was something missing. He had this nifty pile of dirt on the ground that looked like a person. But there was something lacking. There was something missing. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. See, it was just created from the elements of the earth. And that's why you hear me talk about our earth suit, because the interesting thing about our earth suits are all of the elements that are in the earth, our bodies contain most of those elements to this day. And when we die, we go back to, what does the Bible say? The dust of the earth. Our earth suit goes back and it decays and goes back to the earth in which it was created. But I want to talk to you about the breath of life. This is really important. It comes from the word Yahweh. Not my way, but Yahweh. And I have a brief thing here, and then we're going to pick this up after, later. God was gracious enough to answer. The name he gave is recorded in the original Hebrew, and Yahweh is spelled YHWH. And this is really fascinating when you think that you think about this. Over time, we've arbitrarily added an A and a C, or an E, I'm sorry, in there to get Yahweh. So it's now YAHWEH, but originally it was YHWH. Because there just seemed to be a preference for vowels to make a word become a word that was just letters before. But scholars and rabbis, and I've done a lot of research on this, and Barb, I know you like to research and study nifty things out of the Old Covenant as well. So we share this treasure together. So specifically, this is really something that I don't know if you've studied this out, but this is the verse YH. Oh, when pronounced without intervening vowels, it actually sounds like breathing. The YH, when you inhale, has the sound of God's name. When you exhale, the WH has that sound when you pronounce it. So when you breathe in, when you breathe out, it speaks God's name. So when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, that's a very, very powerful thing, where God gave his life source into that massive substance. We just call it dirt, you know, because that's what he basically made him from, the dust of the earth. But he had nothing. He was lacking that one thing, the presence. And when God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, Adam became alive. Otherwise, he was nothing without the breath of God in his life. He could do nothing. That was absolutely crucial and necessary that that happens. So a baby's first cry, his first breath, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh calls his name. On a groan or a gasp that is too heavy for mere words, even an atheist would speak his name, unaware that the very breath is grieving or is giving constant acknowledgement to the Lord. So even unsaved people, when they breathe in, they breathe out, they're speaking God's name and they don't even know it. They don't know. Because I didn't know all those things either. But it's a fascinating thing. And likewise, a person leaves this earth with their last breath when God's name is no longer filling their lungs, but it's on their lips. When they take their last breath, so God's got you coming in and got you going out. This is just so amazing. So when I can't utter anything else in my cry, is my cry calling out his name? Being alive means I speak his name constantly. What was the song you started with this morning? See, I didn't know that. I thought I'd give God 2 weeks off and I come back and he's still up to his usual faithfulness. All these things connect. And so it is heard. Oh, so is it heard the loudest when I'm the quietest? In sadness, we breathe heavy sighs. In joy, our lungs feel almost like they'll burst. because we're taking in the breath of the Lord, even in his name. This isn't hokey pokey. This is really some fascinating things about that's his name. That's who he is. And that's what was imparted to us. And started with Adam. In fear, we hold our breath and have to be told to breathe slowly to help others calm down. Maybe it might even be us to calm down. When we're about to do something hard, we take a deep breath to find our strength. Is that not true? And when you inhale, you take a deep breath. That's the first part of God's name, Yahweh. And when I think about it, breathing gives him praise. You breathe in, you breathe out. You're speaking his name through the sound that comes from your lungs and out our mouth when we breathe. And it's just so wonderful because you won't, after today, you may not think so much about breathing in the same fashion. But knowing when you do, it's the breath of God that God gave Adam. And it's always been that way ever since Adam was created. And it's perpetuated from all the way back to that time. Let's see what else I got here. All right. Waking, sleeping, breathing with the name of God on our lips. And I'm going to stop here because we're going to go on to other scriptures because I want to talk about another need that Adam had. Actually, I got a yellow sticker right here. I should just do it now. I make notes to myself. After I've made notes, then I make more notes. God had a need. The Trinity had a need. They wanted their created beings to be able to reflect God's likeness and his image in human form, if you will. Because nobody could see God. He's often wherever he is in heaven. It's not on this earth necessarily. Paul made mention that he was taken to the third heaven. So I know there's three elements of all that, but that's another teaching. Coming back to Adam. God's ultimate desire was to have man, two by two, right? We're going back to the ark and all of that, so that mankind would be reproduced, if you will, on the earth. And so Adam had a need for that to happen. God had a need for that to happen. And you could read this account in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh around it. And when the Lord had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And the idea was that Adam and Eve were created to replenish the earth because it had never been, I never bought the evolution that we were Cro-Magnon or Neanderthals, although sometimes I suppose we act like them in our fleshy moments. But the story of creation and the breath that God put into Adam, but so that Adam and Eve could be one. After Adam was created, God took one of Adam's ribs and he created Eve out of that. And how many know anything about bone structure and substance that's in bones? And if you've done any studying in that, even in the natural sense, in the medical sense, what's in bones, Simone?
Calcium.
What is it?
Calcium.
Calcium?
Yeah.
Anything else?
And,
I'm asking you because you're a doctor.
Yeah, that's right, but I don't remember what I said. I call it calcium.
The elements of life are in the bones.
That's right.
And so when Eve was created from Adam's rib, it doesn't mean that men have 13 ribs. There's this traditional teaching that since since Eve was created with Adam's rib, Adam only has 13, but you look at every skeleton, there's 14 ribs, 12 on each side, perfectly matched. So that was a supernatural thing in itself, but it was to get the vital oneness of what God created in Adam, he created in Eve, because he used a bone. And then you see what Adam said. And Adam said, verse 23, this is how, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And I don't care how warped thinking in our present day that people are trying to tell us who they are and who they're not, what they are and what they're not. You're never going to get away from this truth. You can hide it, you can bury it, you can cover it up. Men don't have babies. Women don't have a penis. Oh, forgot there's a kid in the house. It's true. And we're being forced, if you will, to accept that. I'm not going to be forced to accept that. I'll die first. That's just some things to head us what I hope we'll be able to finish after our huggy break and, you know, some more songs of praise. But how incredible, because I'm, with the Lord's help, I'm going to bring it up to today and where we're at today in our lives and the significance of going all the way back to the beginning.